In this episode, we look at why every shooter needs to back the right pro-gun causes to push back against the ongoing attempts to make life harder for shooters. Backing the right cause is a lot easier to do than you think.
Where's the kaboom? There was supposed to be an earth-shattering kaboom!
Welcome to the Go News of Australia podcast. It's the podcast for Australian shooters who just want the political interference taken out of shooting.
Okay, so welcome to another episode of Gun News Australia, and once again I'm joined by Sean Fraser. How are you doing, Sean?
Good morning, Neil, on this early Thursday morning.
Yeah, it's funny, I had two coffees, so I'm on my way. I think it's fair to say over the last few months, we've been getting a lot of strong positive feedback about what we're doing in terms of the topics that we're covering and the information we're putting out. It's clear that there's a need for this in the shooting community, and that's really, I guess, the direction that that I've been trying to take this in. Normally, these episodes will focus on specific issues that come up, but today I really wanted to just use this episode to really drive home the message of what shooters can do for the future of our sport, because I think everybody I talk with agree that the attacks on shooters, on, you know, use of firearms, those attacks are actually accelerating and have been accelerating in the last few years. And we've seen that certainly in WA. There's evidence of similar pushes coming out of Tasmania. And we continue to see, I think, bad behaviour by some registries in other states. And unfortunately, there's no evidence to suggest that either side of politics really is there for us. In fact, we've obviously got Labor states across, mostly Labor states across Australia, but the Liberals, who I think would be traditionally our, you know, you'd think would be our friends, they're not standing up for us either. The Nationals are doing a bit of that in states where it matters, but I think it means that we're actually becoming, yeah, even I think a bit more isolated than we have in the past. So that's something that's actually quite a serious political problem, but I think it also presents a bit of an opportunity for us to have discussions like this and actually look at other ways that we can push forward for the shooting sports. And there are a couple of other opportunities, and I just spoke with you before this, we hit the recording button. There are actually a couple of other opportunities that we've identified that they'll be working on during the course of this year. I've got a bit more to say about the background to this, but Sean, did you want to chime in just to add to what I said?
Yeah, I mean, apart from the political side, Neil, it seems to be registries throughout Australia are going almost on the go slow. I mean, funny enough, Queensland added 40 new staff to its weapons licensing branch to help with license applications and PTA approvals. And the consequence of that, Neil, was went from about 1 week to get a PTA to 4 weeks of getting a PTA. So I'm not sure how that works.
If PTAs have to go further around the big table. I mean, you've got more people sitting at the table, so it takes longer for that piece of paper just to go around to, you know, to 40.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I'm hearing similar things in Victoria. You can fill me in that one. The PTAs, used to be able to get a PTA in Victoria in a couple of hours for a Category A PTA. I heard it's slowing down there too, isn't it, Neil?
I haven't heard that. I haven't actually. No, that's not come my way. It may well be happening. But we're not seeing. I've not heard reports of uplifts in the performance of registries. Whether that's simply through lack of communication or whether actually it has not been an uplift, I just simply don't know.
So New South Wales has brought on their online system, and that has sped up their system dramatically. That's actually a. They used to have always the submit a PTA online, but now a lot of their paperwork and all their systems have gone online, which apparently that has dramatically sped up the New South Wales system. So hopefully other states can get on board and do something similar.
Mm. Yeah. I think painting that broader picture, I mean, I think part of the problem here is there hasn't been that sort of political appetite to really improve the lot for shooters, even in terms of the processing. I mean, there's been some good developments in the past, and let's not pretend they don't exist, because they do exist, but what the performance has been over the last couple of years, I'm not sure, If we go back to, I think, the broader suite of problems, I mean, as students will be aware, there's been gun bans. There's been, I think, relatively negative publicity about, the environment we're in. It doesn't help that West Australian Police Minister has kept painting this picture about guns and crime, which I keep going on about, rather than guns and sport. There was the problem with antiques in Tasmania, and whether that actually plays out after this, the election they've got there. Appearance laws continue to hover in the background. The ability of registries to reclassify any firearm because of how it looks. And what I see is a lack of investment by government in the future of shooting. So just to give perhaps a bit more detail to some of the stories we've covered, and this is, goes to the, I guess, the question of why it's important that shooters actually plug into what we're doing and support what we're doing. You know, we've covered, we had obviously the interview with David Lanehelm on the book he's writing. We've got, we've covered different issues about work being done at national level on the gun laws, particularly out of that police shooting in Queensland. So we don't know whether it's going to produce yet. We've got this crazy new policy in Victoria on banning the bolt action shotgun on the basis of opportunistic misuse, which is a new policy that I've never heard of before.
Yeah.
We've got, there was the work on the national registry, which remains to be seen about what the scope of that is. There was obviously the story we broke on the use of the maps by Paul Papalia and how the police there, even the police there, have disagreed with why those maps were released. We've covered appeal rights. So we're covering a whole range of different things, but they all come back to the impact on the shooting sports. The WA buyback, which we covered in a recent episode, and they're the blogs. And then, of course, we've got the podcast. So we added to that list was the interview with Ron Sterry, the guy out of Northern Territory who had his gun license taken off him after he went to help somebody who'd been stabbed. We covered the Victorian duck season. So it's been quite, we've covered a lot of territory, I think, in the last few months.
Yep, and you've got a very well-known MP coming up very shortly, Neil, which we won't drop the name yet, but
no, that's going to be a really good interview.
Yep, so that I look forward to hearing that one, because
it's going to be a corker. Stay with us through 2024 as we delve into the issues that matter to shooters, take the legal actions we need to see, and provide the voting advice that will help shooters get better representation. And don't forget to jump onto our email list. You can find out how in the show notes of this episode. Part of the problems that we face are also driven by this notion that, you know, we don't want US gun laws here, and that this is all being done to make sure we don't go down that US path, which I've got some thoughts on. Sean, I'd like your thoughts on that claim about US gun laws. What would you say?
Yeah, well, what do they actually mean by the US path? If they think, if they're talking about actual gun laws in the United States, I've heard the city of New York has something like 22,000 gun laws of separate different varieties. So if we want to go down that path, well, I mean, they have gun laws. They just have some ridiculous gun laws. Like, for instance, you can't even in the city of New York, I don't think you're even allowed to travel through the city carrying a rifle, and even if it's locked up in a case. They're so draconian. So what do they mean by U.S. style gun laws? Because there are some states who have more restrictive gun laws in the United States than even Australia.
They are all over the place. You're right. In fact, I think California's got taxes on guns and ammo that we just don't have here in Australia. So I'd actually suggest that, in fact, they've actually got a bigger problem over there than we've got here in terms of uniformity and, you know, just trying to get consistency in whatever laws they've got. So I also think there's a deeper problem in that I think what some people are saying is they actually don't like the US Constitution. So to say they don't like US gun laws is really begs a conversation about the Constitution. And constitutions are up for change. If people didn't, if they really didn't want that, you know, the Second Amendment there, or they want it modified, there's a process. Put it to the people. Put it to the vote. And they haven't done it.
No, if you were to put the if you were to put the Second Amendment to the vote in the United States at this moment, it would probably get voted in on such a vast majority, it would never be touched again.
Plus, of course, as you know, the history in the US is vastly different. I mean, the US Constitution was written just after the War of Independence, back in, whenever that was. Which is just a completely different mindset. So to talk about US gun laws, I think it's, just not seeing the forest for the trees.
It's ridiculous to equate US gun laws to the Australian environment. We come from a sporting, hunting use. They come from a self-defense, militia type, primary use, where, yes, hunting is massive in the United States. In fact, there's just like 30 million hunters from last memory in the United States, but there's vastly more self-defense gun owners in the United States than there are hunters, which is the complete opposite to Australia, obviously.
Because their history is different, and our history could change if we ever have the Chinese land on the shores of northwestern Australia. I think people's attitudes might be a little bit different. But be that as it may, yeah, that's as people know, that's often used as a battering ram against us. That's the background, and I think it also demonstrates why shooters need to see that there's always light at the end of the tunnel. If there's proactive action being taken to help shooters. What we do does that. You've got organizations like Shooters Union who also do that. And I think it's also probably worth mentioning that, they're also quite affordable to join, it, particularly if you're up in Queensland, because they also offer genuine reason and liability insurance that Politics Reloaded doesn't. But I think it's important that shooters, no matter where they are, even if they don't really think they want to get too involved in politics, back a cause, back people who do this sort of work, because this sort of work is absolutely critical to keeping what we do going.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you've got also, I think the most political, I mean, if you come onto the AAA, the most political AAA state-based organisation has had to be AAA Victoria, and that they were forced to get political because of the attack on duck season. And otherwise, they would have been, I mean, to be let's be honest, they would have been happy just being a AAA normal sporting shooting hunting club, which ran ranges and advocated for shooters. I mean, they were forced to get political just through the sheer attacks on the duck season. Otherwise, that probably wouldn't have occurred. I mean, in other states, AAA organizations, well, haven't been as political because they haven't needed to be, apart from now WA, which is poor Western Australia, has been attacked at all levels.
Yeah, the I mean, you're dead right. I think there's a couple of other issues that drove AAA Vic and Field and Game and others into that ring. By it wasn't just duck season. I mean, I remember the early 2000s when John Howard wanted to move on handguns after a shooting at Monash University. That actually caused a bit of a rethink by all the shooting organisations there about what the challenge is. The issue wasn't actually about handguns. The issue was about firearms policy. And the fact that you lose part of a finger, now you lose another part of a different finger, tomorrow, and you're eventually left with nothing left, and that was the concern. So I know for a while organisations, in fact, there was actually quite a big cohort of organisations in Victoria got together. But you're right. I mean, AAA, of all the shooting organisations, probably has been the most active. Probably there's only been a couple of others that actually can be political, partly because there are so many other shooting organisations that are tied to government programs and can't be political. Skill set aside is the fact that a lot of these shooting organizations are set up to do, as you said, they don't exist for political purposes. They exist to run events and run ranges.
That's their core mandate. I mean, plus organizations like Field and Game, I mean, exactly what it says in the title. I mean, they concentrate on duck shooting and clay target shooting. That's what they do. And they weren't set up ever to be political advocates for shooters.
Well, that they hold the whole yearly poly shoots now. I think the same might happen in other states where politicians are brought to ranges. Now it's all above board, and it's it's not partisan, but the I think the point is that that's a recognition they have to do it. They have to, you know, engage the politicians, and they do it to different degrees. Yeah. Some have people walking the halls of parliament in the States and also in Canberra, and that's not new. That's been around for quite a while.
Didn't Bridget McKenzie runs the Political Friends of Shooters, or
Parliamentary Friends of Shooting, or something that's called. There's also a parliamentary friends group for what they call gun safety as well.
Yes, and she normally takes politicians out to a range, and whether it be
the pro shooting one does, but there's a similar group for gun safety, which is not about gun safety at all. It's actually about, it's run by the gun control groups. So they're walking the halls of parliament too. Getting back to where we're at, we've got elections happening, all state and federal territory elections happen pretty much on a 4.5 year cycle. So in any one year, there's going to be an election somewhere. This year, we've got Tasmania, Queensland, Northern Territory. And next year, of course, with WA and I think South Australia, New South Wales and others sort of following. So shooters need to know what's going on. They need to know who to vote for, and they need to remain plugged into, the work that Shooters Union and we do. That, and I've said this before, and I'm going to sound like a stuck record, but shooters also need to go and see their local members of parliament to make sure their voice is heard, even if they think it's a lone voice, because with 900,000 or however many shooters are out there, there are a lot of lone voices.
Yeah. We've got about 1.2 million license holders. Now, some people hold, like myself, hold multiple licenses. So I've got to carry A, B, and a separate license for H. So I'm counting the 1.2 million, obviously, but some people do hold multiple licenses. But as you say, it's unsure how many total individual license holders, 800,000, 900,000, as you say. But that's a big voting block now.
A lot of people. Like I said, if everybody thinks they're a lone voice, just look over to the other, 800,000 or 900,000 people, because they're all lone voices. And so when they start saying the same thing to the local MP, then that's going to improve our stocks.
This episode of Gun News Australia is brought to you by Politics Reloaded. Make sure you follow our podcast or simply join our email list at politicsreloaded.com.
So in terms of what else shooters can do and why they should be involved, with a pro shooting organisation like Politics Reloaded, is there anything else you wanted to add to that?
No, just regardless of what state you're in, regardless of what organisation or club you belong to, just get politically motivated. Unfortunately, it's come to the time where there is a state push on our sport, and if you don't get politically motivated and contact your local MP or go visit your local MP or be involved in the club, even joining clubs helps, because even the smaller clubs, because it doesn't have to be the larger clubs, it doesn't have to be Field and Game or AA, it can be the smaller clubs, because the government takes notice of membership on all clubs. I mean, it's the total membership, Neil, it's the total membership of all clubs that they take notice of, not just the bigger clubs. So get politically active no matter what you do.
Yep. And I think one of the things that people don't realise about joining a gun club, for those who have not been in an environment, is that they get very social. It's not just about going down the range, shooting a couple of targets, going home. Often they'll have, especially if they go to prize meetings, I can tell you now, half the people that go to prize meetings, so with when you're shooting, it's another range against other people, other clubs. Half the people that go really go, for the social aspect, just like being a member of a golf club or a local, Rotary or whatever. Because I've found it be a lot of fun going to some of these events, and that's why I've never even left the gun club environment.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's not just about, as you say, it's not just about the club. It's not just about the shooting. It's about the being involved, getting active in a club or any club or any organisation with like interests. And you learn about the issues that affects you as a shooter, because a lot of people don't realise the attacks we're under. So we need to, unfortunately, shooters can no longer just own a hunting license, go hunting a couple of times a year, and then just think that's going to continue for the rest of their lives. If they don't get involved, then we're going to lose everything.
And it's another real positive in being a member. You learn a good safety practice. You learn things about firearms to improve what you've got and how you use them. I mean, it might be you're getting some advice from a member on different on the advantage of using a different sighting system or different scopes or whatever you use. Also, if you've got family members, you know, like kids or whoever who want to get involved in the sport, it's the perfect environment for them. So I think really to wrap up here, we've said, you know, what shooters should do, but also get behind organisations that can bring news like this to shooters, because that's the only way we're going to be able to get more shooters involved. You can subscribe to our podcast. You can join us. It's $30 a year, 60 cents a week, and you'll get our podcast, which is like having a CD that gets updated every week that you can play in your car or listen to on the way to work, whatever it is, if you're not familiar with podcasts. So you can do that at politicsreloaded.com.
Yep. And if you're wondering where that $30 a year goes, it simply goes to enabling Politics Reloaded to reach more audience. I mean, it's not free or cheap to expand the podcast to reach more audience. So that's where your money will go to reach more shooters, to inform more shooters about what the challenges and the attacks we're coming up against throughout Australia. So that's where you can help, and that's where the money goes, by reaching more shooters and to inform and more shooters on what we're up against.
Thank you very much. So, Sean, thank you so much for your time today, and I really appreciate your help.
Yep, no worries, Neil.
And as you alluded to, stay tuned, because we've got a really important interview coming up in the next few days that no shooter will want to miss, and you won't miss it if you remember. So, look, thanks very much, and we'll see you later.
Thanks, Neil. See ya.
Make sure you subscribe to this podcast and that you're on our email list. And don't forget to check the episode notes, because that's where you'll find out how you can support us. Plus, let us know if you want something promoted on the podcast. Maybe you've got a shoot coming up that you want to promote. Just let us know. We'll see you at our next episode of Gun News Australia, brought to you by Politics Reloaded.